This week's episode of An Extra Glance is sponsored by Naomi Kritzer, whose short story collection, Cat Pictures Please and Other Stories, comes out from Fairwood Press in July 2017. Learn more at naomikritzer.com. Hi, my name is Ed Burke, and welcome to An Extra Glance, the podcast in which I take a closer look at well-known stories from the news and from history, or, as is the case this week, the history behind the news. On Tuesday, in the closest cabinet confirmation vote in history, Betsy DeVos was confirmed as the Secretary of Education, with two Republicans joining all 48 Democrats in opposition. Mike Pence had to cast the tie-breaking vote, the first time that the vice president broke a tie for a cabinet nominee. Her nomination was so controversial that on the same day that she was confirmed, Representative Thomas Massey of Kentucky introduced legislation to eliminate the Department of Education. Okay, Congressman Massey's bill was probably not targeting DeVos directly, though clearly one of the results would be that she would be out of a job. But it brings up an interesting question. Why do we have a Department of Education? At first glance, maybe that seems obvious. Education is very important. But the individual states are responsible for education, not the federal government, and the country went without a Department of Education for nearly two centuries. Yet today, the department has more than 4,000 employees and a $68 billion budget. How did we get here? The cabinet departments are not defined in the Constitution. In fact, the term cabinet isn't used. The Constitution simply grants the president the power to appoint officers of the United States with the advice and consent of the Senate. George Washington's first cabinet had just four members, the Secretaries of State, Treasury and War, and the Attorney General. The first department added to the cabinet was the Department of the Navy in 1798. The cabinet got a sixth member in 1829 when Andrew Jackson invited his Postmaster General to sit in the cabinet, although the post office would not be officially elevated to a cabinet-level department until 1872. The mid-19th century saw the creation of two new departments, Interior and Agriculture, and this is when the story of the Department of Education begins. The Office of Education was created in 1867 and soon became part of the Department of the Interior. Two new cabinet departments were created at the beginning of the 20th century, the Departments of Labor and Commerce, which actually were just one department for their first decade of existence. There were no changes until after World War II, but then there was a flurry of activity. The military departments were reorganized in the 1940s. Then in 1953, the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare was carved out of the Interior Department. The Office of Education was one of six major operational areas within the department. Three more cabinet departments were created over the next quarter century, and then, with the passage in 1979 of the Department of Education Organization Act, the Department of Education began operating as a separate department in May 1980. Many Republicans opposed the creation of the department, charging that the federal government doesn't have authority over education, and their party's 1980 platform, backed by presidential candidate Ronald Reagan, called for its elimination. However, President Reagan was unable to convince Congress, and the 1984 Republican platform removed calls to abolish the department, though they resurfaced a decade later. But despite Republican hostility to the department, its budget has actually grown more quickly under Republican presidents than Democratic ones. The fastest period of growth came under President George W. Bush, when No Child Left Behind significantly boosted the department's role. Today, the department's budget of $70 billion accounts for less than 2% of the overall federal budget of $3.9 trillion. Nevertheless, it has a higher budget than some cabinet departments, such as Commerce, Labor, and Interior. About half of the budget supports elementary and secondary education. Much of the rest goes to support college students through grants and loans. The federal government also supports primary and secondary education through other programs, including the Department of Agriculture's school lunch program. All told, the federal contribution to primary and secondary education is about $50 billion, which is just a fraction of the total cost. State and local governments provide the vast majority of school funding, 92% of the more than $600 billion spent annually. Of course, that still leaves the federal government providing 8%, which would certainly be missed if it disappeared. This brings us back to Representative Massey's bill to eliminate the Department of Education. First question, how serious is this proposal? For now, not serious. The entire text of the bill is, the Department of Education shall terminate on December 31st, 2018. There's no information about what would happen to the 4,400 employees or the various programs that the department administers. Of course, perhaps the congressman simply plans to get rid of all of those things, but any law would need to make that explicit. If someday the bill is amended to include that information, then we can consider it a serious piece of legislation. But for now, it's clearly an aspiration, not a plan. And would eliminating the department gut its mission? Perhaps, but not necessarily. Remember that first new cabinet department added in 1798? It no longer exists. In a reorganization in 1949, the Department of the Navy was moved under the Department of Defense. Yet despite not having cabinet status, the Navy is clearly still an important part of the government. The Department of Education could merge back into Health and Human Services or find some other home and continue its mission. I'm not saying that's a good idea, but we also shouldn't necessarily equate the elimination of the department with an abandonment of public education. Department of Education budget from the Department's Budget Office website. Overall education spending from the National Center for Education Statistics, NCES.ed.gov. Overall federal budget information from the Congressional Budget Office, CBO.gov. Text of Representative Massey's proposed bill from his website, Massey.house.gov. History of the composition of the cabinet, yeah, I cheated, is from Wikipedia. See you next week on An Extra Glance.